Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship. It's good to be back. I can't remember the last time I ever had two consecutive Sundays off. But there seems to be plenty been going on while I've been missing. But there's plenty more, and I've got so much I almost want to say, oh yay, oh yay, oh yay, here is the news. But I did say it, but I won't say it. Going to cut down very short so you'll be able to remember most of these. First of all, tea and coffee. That remains the same that we served in the community hall following our worship. But there'll be no open air on the triangle, but a group from the band will be going down to the hospital to play some carols for them. There's no Friends Together on Wednesday, and there's no coffee morning on Thursday. Both will restart in the new year, and we'll announce when that is at the time. On Friday here at 6:30, Gordon Rodwell's Christmas Memorial Service will take place, and this will be supported by our band. Next Sunday, worship at 10:30, as today, but at 5:30 in the evening, the very popular Call Carol Service will take place. So remember that, 10:30 in the morning, 5:30 in the evening. On the 23rd of December, there'll be a crib service here at 3 o'clock, and that followed by a film night. And the carol service is particularly suitable for children, followed by a family-friendly film at 4:30. So if you've got any young children in the house, or you've got grandchildren, or the neighbours have got children, why not invite them and bring them along? That's on Saturday the 23rd. Then on Christmas Day, we celebrate the birth of Jesus at 10:30. But before that, there is on the 24th, a short service at 10:30 in the morning. So on Christmas Day, we celebrate Christ's birth at 10:30. And then there's followed by a Christmas Day lunch and afternoon entertainment. Who knows, we may even get some Scottish dancing. We may not. And finally, there's a space you'll see on the notice board as you go out, and that's for you to send a card to the call. Some people may not even get a card, so it's important. So buy a card, send a message to everyone in the call, stick it on the board, and we can all read what you've said about us. So thank you for that. And now we hand over to Captain for worship.
Thank you, John. It's good to have you back, not least because it means I don't have to do the announcements. And I'm sure everyone is very relieved. And thank you for volunteering to lead them Scottish dancing on Christmas Day. I, for one, am particularly looking forward to that. Oh, hi the new then. Good morning, everyone. And welcome to the Salvation Army. It's good to be together. It's good to worship together. And I hope that you leave this place in some way rejuvenated, regenerated, refreshed, ready to go in an hour or so. So let's start our worship this morning. Come, thou long-awaited Jesus. These are words of Wesley's with the added benefit of a Salvation Army chorus to make it jolly and to provide us with the opportunity for a bit of clapping. So I invite you to stand as we sing together. Thank you. please take your seats. And I'm glad to see how warmly that was received and how enthusiastically many were joining in with that. And we're going to light our second Advent candle. In my mind, it was the third today. But I think that was only wishful thinking, perhaps. But I'm going to read a short prayer, just the same liturgy as we used last week. I'll read a short prayer, then Caroline will light the candle, then I'll invite you to join with me in reading the words that will be displayed before you. In this season of Advent, we are here to watch and wait and pray for the coming of light into the world. We long for the day when the things of darkness, selfishness and greed, suffering and oppression shall be no more. And let us join together. Lord, by your presence, light up the past that we might learn from it with thankfulness. Light up the present that we might live in it with love. Light up the future that we might prepare for it in hope. As we watch and wait and pray, may we be always ready to encounter the Lord who is already and always with us. Amen. We continue in a spirit and an atmosphere of prayer, and we're going to sing together the carol, O Come, Emmanuel. And interspersed between each verse, I will read a prayer on our behalf. So let us sing this carol together. And as I say, each verse will be broken up by a prayer. O come, Emmanuel, come to our world with its cruelty and hatred, its division and distrust, its greed and its selfishness. Come with your gentleness, the ease to ease the pain of enmity. Come with your forgiveness to dispel dissension and restore harmony. Come with your humility to cure the error of pride and self-centeredness. Come with your peace to transform the world into your kingdom. O come, thou Lord of might. Come to those who act violently and quell their anger. Come to those who oppress the weak and establish kindness. Come to those who revel in their powerfulness and remind them of the power of love. Come with your grace to establish your kingdom in the hearts of all. Come, thou rod of Jesse, come to our nation and bless us with peace and prosperity. Come to the lost and the least and the lonely in our land, and let them know that they are valued and loved by you. Come to those who have lost any sense of their worth and surround them with your love. Come to the homeless, the forsaken, the poor in spirit, and the disturbed in mind. Come, thou dayspring, come to the sick and the suffering with the balm of your healing. Come to the guilty and the grieving with the offer of your forgiveness and hope. Come to the distressed and the dying with the promise of your peace. Come to all who are in need, for you are sufficient for every need. O come, thou key of David, come to the church and show it how to serve you as you wish to be served. Come to local congregations and enable them to reach out to the unchurched with the hope which they need. Come to our church and bind it in unity to its Lord and Master. Come and make your gospel a living reality here in our time and place. To the ministry from the songsters. Thank you, songsters. That was beautiful. Yeah, we really enjoyed that and we're really blessed by it. Children, can you come and see me? We've reached that time. Come and see me. There was a time when one of these would have been kind of almost like a Christmas present, wouldn't it? And when I was about a bit older than you, I lived in a part of France where this was a very, very common Christmas present. And every Christmas event that you went to, you'd be given one of these. Oh, that one feels a bit rotten. I won't give that one. Here we go, Ava. Yeah, well, I think we used to call them tangerines, but we seem to call them easy peelers nowadays. I don't know what... I'm sorry, I've only got one rotten one left. So the type. So yeah. So so Matthew, you say it's a tangerine. Some people might say it's a mandarin. The label on my net says that they're easy peelers, and that's what they seem to be nowadays. So what I want you to do is everyone allowed to eat these? I would like you to please, oh, Archie's lost his. I would like you to please peel your easy peeler. I'll start you off. If you need help, I'll start you off if you need me to. If you start this side, it's a little bit easier. Here we go. If you start this side, it seems to work. Lovely. Does anyone notice anything yet? Yeah, oh yes, they are quiet. Anything else that we notice? If you can't smell it, come up this way, or I'll waft it your way. But isn't it amazing? You know, if you're on a train journey, for instance, and someone cracks open their picnic, when they peel an orange or they get a tangerine or an easy peeler out, it takes out the whole train carriage, doesn't it? The smell. Can you smell that smell? Can you smell it, Ayla? Can you smell Martha? Lovely. We'll enjoy this. It's a little break. Enjoy it. Come on, Matthew. Even I can smell it. Lovely. Can you put a Bible verse up for us, please, Ewan? This is what the Bible says. But thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession, and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him. The aroma, the smell of Him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. Well, what does that mean? I need you, I want you, and Jesus demands of you all to go out there and spread the sweet smell of knowing Jesus in the world around you. So what does that mean? It might mean being kind. It might mean being helpful. All these good things that we can do. So remember this when you go into your weeks. This, talk about this with your mum and dads after the meeting. Say, what was that Paul on about? They can explain to you a little bit more. But go back to school, go to all the activities that you do, and spread the sweet aroma of Jesus everywhere you go. Ah, I hadn't thought about this very well, because it's now time for the mini choir. Yeah. Can you hand your easy peeler to a grown up that is associated with you to hold this for a while? Martha, I'll take yours if you... Martha doesn't trust me with these. And now we are going to listen to the kids as they sing to us. This is a highlight of Advent for me.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Guys, that was a good one. We enjoyed that. And off to Sunday school now, so have a wonderful time. And we'll see you afterwards. It's too early to talk about Christmas, isn't it? Mainly because we then bypass Advent in the process. We've had one kind of Advent-y carol. We're going to have one carol. I kind of go up in increments through Advent because I don't want to disappoint those that love carols, but I want to kind of stick on message as well. But we're going to sing It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. Do you want to stand? Let's stand and sing together.
Thank you.
you will have, of course, recognised an arrangement there of "Oh, little town of Bethlehem." And it's over to you once again to participate, and we're going to sing together, "Lord, I come before your throne of grace. What a faithful God I have." And while we sing this song, the offering will be taken up. Amen.
Our reading today is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all his holy people throughout Achaia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so you also share in our comfort.
Thank you, Julia. It's equally both amazing and sobering to think that God sent Jesus at just the right time. And we read in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law." But the passing of time means that we easily forget how ruthless, how unjust, and how exploitative the Roman Empire actually was. So in this context of oppression, the announcement of Jesus' coming and his imminent birth in Bethlehem would change the course of history and bring comfort to a suffering world. And as we saw last week, Jesus, through his Holy Spirit, through the Paraclete, through the Comforter, stands ready to comfort even today. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, Jesus promises us that those who mourn will be comforted. And this promise is, of course, a sweet balm for those who still live under oppressive regimes, those who are grieving, those who are lonely, those who are sick, those who suffer because of injustice or conflict, and even those who are lonely or excluded. And as well as comfort, though, there is also a promise of joy that Jesus elaborated on in later years. And in John chapter 15, verse 11, Jesus says, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." The Lord Jesus Christ not only comforts us in our troubles, but does so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So how can we comfort others with the comfort that we have received? Well, I wonder to what extent we are putting this salve, you know, understood as a healing ointment, into salvation. Of course, salve and salvation are not related in terms of their origins, but the sounds they share kind of allow us and allow me to make a good illustration this morning. And this is because salvation is not a harsh or condemning message. It is, or ought to be, proclaimed tenderly and from and by people whose hearts are full of love and compassion rather than judgment. In this sense, the message of salvation in Jesus Christ then is a salve to a broken and hurting world. We have already noted that comfort is offered to those who mourn. And mourning can happen for a variety of different reasons, of course. But generally, people mourn for what they have lost or for what they perceive to have lost. So this raises an interesting question. Are we comforted by having or by being? And my answer, I think, is logical, but very often it's hard to accept. We cannot be comforted by the restoration of what is lost. We cannot be comforted by the restoration of what is lost. But we can be comforted by the very presence of Christ, who will never abandon us. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. The word then blessed here in this verse of Matthew 5 is variously translated in our Bibles as blessed, or happy. And to me, that signals, and to you, it ought to signal the fact that there's a translation challenge here between the New Testament Greek and contemporary English. And happy works as long as we don't understand it as a transient moment of good mood. And blessed works as long as we don't imagine a priest sprinkling water or intoning a formal prayer. Blessed, makarios, in the New Testament, implies some sort of benefit, a privilege that comes from knowing God. So in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is saying, you are in an enviable position if you live according to the values of the kingdom of God, if you live according to the values of the rule of God, if you live under the rule of God, you are in an enviable position. And even if the circumstances you are living through are hard, you still maintain this benefit, this privilege, this enviable position, because you will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We often sing a chorus that says, Jesus, thou art everything to me. Jesus, thou art everything to me. All my lasting joys are found in thee. Jesus, thou art everything to me. We sing these words, but do we believe them? We sing these words, but do we live by them? Because when we sing these words, we are effectively saying, if I have Christ, I have everything that I need. So having Jesus as part of our lives provides us with comfort and mourning, as well as lasting joy. But Jesus does not only comfort us in our troubles, but does so so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. And Paul ramps up the stakes, I think, in verse 5 by appealing to what Scott Haifman, in his commentary, calls spiritual algebra. And he proposes the following equation. And he says, Paul's suffering plus God's comfort equals comfort for others. And Haifman adds that Paul's afflictions will never outweigh the comfort he has received from God. Paul's afflictions, and we know they are many, never outweighed the comfort that he received from God. And this is true for each and every one of us. God will match our need with comfort, whether that be our suffering, our mourning, our sadness, our disappointment. God will supply our need. And he will do so much that we, in turn, can bring comfort to others. In short, we are comforted to comfort. And in today's world, there are many opportunities to offer comfort to people who have lost their way, to people who suffer from low self-esteem, as well as to people who feel excluded, lonely, and unloved. So how can we share? How can we show and tell people that they are loved and valued by God? There are also plenty of people around us, perhaps unbeknown to us, who are exploited through unjust societal and, in some instances, criminal structures, whether that be through human trafficking and modern slavery, economic hardship, domestic violence, and all forms of inequality that exclude and marginalize people. How can we make it known that God sees and cares for everyone. Have you ever noticed that very often the same people who have experienced significant personal trauma and loss themselves, but to have received comfort and support in their darkest hours, use that negative experience to help others? I'm going to go off script. It's my privilege to speak to many of you and to get to know many of you. And there's many people in this congregation who can share that experience. Yes, I've experienced terrible trauma. Yes, God has comforted me. And most certainly, am I going to use these two elements for the benefit of others? And that's the principle on which many charities have been founded. They've been founded by people who have suffered and gone through unimaginable suffering and hardship, only to turn the situation around and prove that darkness cannot extinguish light. So the coming of Jesus is indeed great news of comfort and joy. But only, and this is the takeaway for today, only Jesus' presence can bring us the comfort that we need. And let's remember this, and let's turn to him in our time of need, and let's trust him. But let us also remember not to keep this good news to ourselves. And let's this morning commit to using our experience of suffering, the hardship that we have endured, as well as the comfort that we have received, to bring people comfort, to be people who bring comfort to others, to be people who are comforted to comfort. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are indeed faithful. You do not change and your promises remain the same. My prayer for us all this morning is that in our time of need, we would draw near to you. We wouldn't try and do things in our own strength, that we would draw near to you. That we would receive the comfort, that we would receive the consolation that you are so readily willing to impart. We also pray, Lord, that we would combine those experiences, those negative experiences, with our experience of knowing you by our sides, and that we would use them to bring comfort to others. Your will, Lord, is often hard to understand. And we often struggle with our pain and our grief, Lord. But we pray, Lord, that you would make clear in the fullness of time your purposes, Lord. And we look forward one day, Lord, to the day when we will be able to understand the way in which your will unfolds. Lord, make us be people who are comforted to comfort. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We close our worship this morning with a quite upbeat song, actually. Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath is in you. Arise, a mighty army. Arise. And you, I think, understand why I picked this song. Talks about where things impossible by faith shall be made possible. Talks about though we are weak, his grace is everything we need. He turns our weaknesses into his opportunities. And I hope that you see something of the economy of God here. The weak become the strong. The mourned are comforted. The mourning are comforted. All through the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Let's stand and sing together. Go now and walk in the light of the Lord. Stay alert, for the Lord is near. Put on the armor of light and live openly and honorably. Pray for peace for all God's people. And may God clothe you in the light of Christ. May Christ Jesus teach you his ways. And may the Holy Spirit keep you alert and prepared for the coming day of the Lord. We go in peace, to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen.